Good evening, everyone. It's good to be learning messages from the Midrash again this week for Parshat Chayisara. Today was the first Yortzeit, hard to believe, of Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Harav Yaakov Tzvi, Zichrono Levracha. So our learning should be dedicated in his memory. There are actually a number of programs taking place tonight that I didn't know about, hadn't thought about, of course, in scheduling the shiur tonight, so could be some people are with that, but I will include an insight from him at some point in the shiur, and his impact, of course, does not need to be spelled out. His loss is certainly tremendous, and there's so much more that we wish we would have learned from him. But meanwhile, there's still a lot out there that I haven't even read that he wrote. So thank God there's still a lot to read. In the Midrash Tanhuma for this week, there's actually, I'm realizing now that I'm going to have an issue with the sharing screen. What's going on here? I'm trying something here. Let me pause. Okay. Let's pick up. Okay, so there's remarkably very little about, when you think of what's in Parshat Chayisara, so a lot of it, the central drama of the story really seems to be about Avraham's servant, the Eved Avraham, who we often identify as Eliezer, trying to find a wife for Yitzchak. That's a lot of the meat of Chayisara. And Midrashim, actually, in Tanchuma, do not focus on that at all. I looked at the primary version of Tanchuma that's often used, as well as the Buber edition, which is sometimes associated with the Tanchuma Yashan. There is very little about that part of the story. But instead, these midrashim focus primarily on Avram's aging. There's actually some extremely beautiful midrashim. So let's see what we have here. It's still having a big issue here. Authorize this account. So you have to tell me if you can see this. Can you see my screen? Can you see my screen now? Okay, we're good. Okay, fine. So, all right, hopefully this will all work well. Okay, so Midrash begins with Avraham Zakein. It talks about how Avraham was getting old. So what's going on in context is that Avraham is becoming more elderly, and he's concerned about marrying off Yitzchak. So this is a Yilamadenu, Yom Din Rabbeinu Midrash, which usually begins with a halach discussion that sometimes seems to have nothing to do with what's going on, but it is connected to the parsha. So the Midrash opens, Yom Din Rabbeinu, our master should teach us. So somebody's riding on a donkey, and it's time to daven. Okay, whether it's shachar or mincha. So ketzad yase, what should they do? So, if somebody's riding on a donkey and it's time to daven, so they should get down. They should get down and daven. If they can't stop riding, why would they be unable to stop riding? So you're not able to focus properly. So let's say somebody is carrying money on their donkey, and if they get down, so their money becomes vulnerable. a vulnerable. Oshehu misyare mina goyim, or they're scared that the non-Jews will come and attack, umin halistim, or bandits will come and attack. So they can daven while they're writing. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zosa Meres Hamispalot Sarich Shtei Dato Mishavas Alav Mispalot Neakadosh Baruch Hu. So somebody who is davening needs to be focused and daven to Akadosh Baruch Hu. This is an interesting medrash. It actually has a lot of applicability, even though we don't ride donkeys anymore. But this question is applied to, let's say, somebody's riding a car or somebody's in an airplane. It's time to daven. So if you're the driver, there's concern that you're either not going to drive properly or you're not going to daven properly. Not driving properly is obviously more dangerous. Not davening properly is also not good. So it's more of a concern if you're the driver. But if you're the passenger, so you're in fact allowed to say Shmona Esrei sitting. Right? Same thing on an airplane. If you're traveling, and let's say it's a flight that's going to take a few hours, which can happen if you have a morning flight. Let's say this, you know, this time of year, you have a morning flight at, you know, 7 o'clock. So you're boarding at 6:30. You barely have time to put on your taus and tefillin. You wouldn't be able to put your taus and tefillin on before you get on the plane if you're a male. Let's say it's a 3-hour flight. So you might totally not have time to daven. You might totally not have time to daven, not on the airplane. So in that case, one should daven. I was just asked this question the other night, so it was very auspicious when I was looking at this last night, and I had just gotten this question about davening on an airplane. And sometimes they say actually that you should that one should daven on an airplane because let's say you land in time to daven, but you would still have to rush. You'd have to daven at the airport. So there's a concern that you would, you know, that your davening at the airport would be rushed if you're standing in the terminal and you're just trying to get on to the next thing. And so poskim say that it's perfectly okay to say Shemona Esrei while sitting, and one can daven on an airplane. So this halacha is actually very applicable, even though in some ways it seems a bit arcane. But we learned from this the importance of davening and with davening with kavana that. It's not, of course, on a normal day, even when you're in shul and davening with a minion, or even davening at home, it can be hard to focus. But still, we have to set ourselves up for the best possible situation. And if it's a foregone conclusion that you're not going to have kavana, so that's not necessarily a great place or time to daven. So Abishol Omer, Im Kevin Adam is Daito B'Tfila, Yeh Muftach Shetfila Tzad Nishmas. So they can be sure that the tefila will be answered. Shenamar Tachin Liban Takshiv Oznecha. You will direct their heart. You will cause your ear to attend. So when a person davens with kavana, when tachin liban, when a heart's directed and prepared to reach Hashem, so Hashem listens. Okay, so that's the first part of the midrash. Then the midrash continues. What does this have to do with chayisara? There's nobody who daven with kavana like Avram Avinu. Far be it from you to do this manner, meaning talking about this destroying Sodom. So we'll see a little bit later a different derivation of Avraham davening, specifically Avraham davening shachris, and that later version that we'll see is quoted by the Gemara in Brachos. And coincidentally, that also has to do with Sodom. But here also, we see Avraham having a conversation with God, and he's very passionate. He's very passionate, and it's very clear that he had. He had a real sense of mission in his davening to Hashem. So when Hashem saw that Avraham was looking to find merit, he was pleading on behalf of Sodom that it shouldn't be, he was pleading on behalf of Sodom so the world shouldn't be destroyed, which is something, you know, something we talked about last week was the extent to which Avraham tries to find the good and it does in Sodom, and we see this with Noah also. The Midrash is full of references to trying to find the best in people, even in situations where maybe some punishment has to take place, but you always want to try to find an angle that it should be the least severe where appropriate, that people who aren't part of the issue should not be punished along with the others. So Avram was trying to find those who were righteous among those who were in Sodom. So when Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that Avraham's trying really sincerely to do that, so Avraham begins to say, "You are Hashem begins to say about Avraham, you are fairer than the children of men, from all other people, etc." So Avraham says, "Amarlo, Eza Yofi Shali, where is my beauty? Where is my how am I fairer than other people?" And you need nichnasin that year when my son and I come to a city together. So nobody knows if I'm the father and Yitzchak's the son, or whether Yitzchak's the father and I'm the son. Because at that time, Adam Umasaim, person could live 100, 200 years and not look older. That's what Medrash says was taking place at that time. So Avraham initially didn't look so old. So Hashem is complimenting Avraham in how dignified and pleasant he looks. And Avraham says, what good is this? Because nobody can tell Yitzchak and me apart. So that's not really something that's good for me, because that doesn't contribute to people treating me respectfully as they should. So Amar Avraham, Ribono shel Olam, tzarich ata lafrish bein ha'av lebein ubein nar lazakin. She's kabin hazakin banan. So a person has to distinguish, he's asking Hashem to distinguish between father and son and old and young, so that way the youth will treat the elders with respect. Okay, I'm going to start with you. Avram, you're going to be the first person to look old. So then Avram goes to sleep. So Avram sees that his hair and his beard has turned white. So you've made me an example. So now I'm the only one who looks old, and it's ridiculous. So it's a spectacle. So Amar lo teresi fer seva. The hoary head is a crown of glory. The hadar is kingdom seva, and the beauty of men is hoary head. So why does it teach us that Avraham was a Zakin? Because when he davened with Kavana to protect the innocent or the potentially innocent people of Sodom, so Kadosh Baruch Hu had sort of praised Avraham for his, I guess we could say, his inner and outer beauty. And Avraham says, what's this worth? Nobody knows that I'm an elder. I don't receive the proper respect. So Avraham makes Hashem makes Avraham look old. So we see a similar story also. I'm thinking of the parallel with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who we talk about in the Pesach Seder. It's Mishnah that appears in Brachot that Elazar ben Azariah was appointed to be the CEO of the Sanhedrin when he was 18 years old. And he was concerned that his wife was concerned that people wouldn't take him seriously because he looks like a young guy. So his hair turned white overnight. The same thing happened with Avraham. Difference is that Avraham was, according to the Medrash, the first one to look that way. Elazar ben Azariah was just, was supposed to be on par with other people who would have otherwise been, equal candidates. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah stood out for whatever reasons that he stood out. But we're going to develop this through the next midrash as well. But one thing we obviously see here is that we often think that looking old is a negative thing, but there is something positive about growing old and even looking old. This is something that Avraham Avinu teaches us. So let's go on to the next midrash that develops this more. So Avraham Zakin, another midrash about Avraham aging. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua Bar Nachmani. It's because of four things that a person becomes prematurely old. Because of fear. Because of grief. Because of grief caused by children. Because of a wicked wife. And because of wars. So Mimna Yira that we learned from David. David says, "V'loyachol David lechas lefan of ledrosh elokim kinifas b'ipnei cherav malach Hashem." So David would not go to inquire before inquire Hashem because he was terrified of the sword of the angel of Hashem. Drosh Elokim means to inquire of God, to ask a question. But one thing that David certainly did do was he was Doesh Elokim in terms of his connection with God. That Tehillim is a whole expression of longing for Hashem. There's the Pasuk Samalcha Nafshi, my soul thirsts for Hashem. That's actually I was watching a video earlier of Rabbi Sachs talking about that's what he wanted his epitaph to be on his grave, Samalcha Nafshi, that my soul thirsted for Hashem. So David was someone who was Doresh Hashem, and we should be Doresh Hashem. We should be people who seek opportunity to connect with Hashem. But David was terrified, in this case, to ask something of Hashem. And then it says what it says afterwards, David Zakin, David was old. So it shows that David's fear expedited his aging. And Kasa Banim, we learned from Eli. This is something I'm going to be teaching very shortly in my sixth grade class, that Eli Zakin Ma'od, Vishamas Kol Asher Yasun Banav L'chor Yisrael. So Eli HaKohen had two wicked sons who were Kohanim. They would rip people off. They acted inappropriately. And it says that he got old and he aged, especially because that he had children who did not walk in his path, did not grow up to be mentioned. So that's how Eli got old. Mimnei Milchamos, we learn from Yeshua, Shachar, She'asat Milchamos im Shoshim ve'acham lachem, after Yeshua did 31 wars. So Yeshua, it says right after that, Yeshua zaken babayim, Yeshua was old. Isha Ra'a, one can grow old from a wicked woman, because by Hila Es Zikna Shlomo, Nashav Hitzius Levavah Achrei Elohim Achrim. So Shlomo had gotten old, and his wives had led him astray. So that shows that having a wicked wife, or in this case, multiple wicked wives, could expedite one's age. Okay, so a lot of this makes sense. On some level, that we know that stress is something that can lead to expediting of age. You look at different presidents, and you can see how they've aged. See if I can pull it up for you guys to see on the screen. We have these before actor pictures of this is Obama, and this is Bush, right? So. I've seen multiples of these. So that's not necessarily unfamiliar concept. But then it says when it comes to Abraham, it says Avram Zakin. When Avram Zakin, so he was already 100 at that, at least 100, probably older than then. Sarah was 127 years. He was 137 years. Well, Avraham Ishto Mechavto Vekarto Adoni. Avram's wife would honor him and call him Adoni, because we have the pasuk in last week's parsha of Adoni Zakein. My master is elderly. Virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. So Avraham, on the one hand, was old, but Avraham was blessed. So the other side of Zikna, so we mentioned the last midrash emphasizes the virtues of perhaps being a little bit more elderly, and Avram wanted to look old. The other side, of course, is that that's not always positive, but Avram's getting older is valued. So the same reality can be good or bad depending on the source or how you got there, right? If one looks elderly because they are and they've lived a rich life, so that's a good thing. But if it's because of sorrows, it's because one aged so quickly, so early, so that's not necessarily a positive thing, right? I'm at a stage right now. I've been slowly losing my hair, and it's something I think about. I actually had a moment yesterday. David, this involved you. I left my phone in the base medrash after Minyan, and I had already gone downstairs. And as I walked upstairs, everybody was shouting to me, "Rabbi, your you're aging, your memory is aging. So I mean, I've always been prone to forget things. I'm sure it'll only get worse. But the truth is, our society really has an obsession with looking young. Some of it is a beauty thing that probably comes from sort of a beauty hedonistic sort of standpoint, the extent to which we want to look young. But I think there's also on some level that we live in a generation where being a senior is not necessarily respected. Of course, it's not right, but we see nowadays that people don't necessarily respect people who are older than them, right? So, I mean, there's a Mishnah on Sota that says, "Be'ikvos Mashiach chutzpah yiskeh," and the days leading up to Mashiach, there will be greater chutzpah. So, I was saying this to another teacher recently in the context of some of what we sometimes go through, that maybe we know Mashiach is coming because of the way we're treated in school sometimes, by not by administrators, but by children. It's another Braita in Sanhedrin. It says, Tanya Rabbi Nanaraya Mer, David Sheben David, Babo Ne'arim Yavinu Pnei Zakenim. So in the generation that Mashiach will come, the young will embarrass and shame the elderly, and the elderly will be standing up before the young people instead of the other way around. And a daughter will rebel against her mother, and a daughter-in-law will rebel against her mother-in-law, something that's definitely common nowadays. And a son isn't embarrassed from his father. So some of this really does kind of resonate nowadays. Yeah, I hope Mashiach is coming. Wouldn't want it to be for that reason, but it feels like that sometimes. I talked a couple years ago in a drasha about this okay boomer concept. I haven't heard it in a while, but there was a whole thing going around on TikTok that there was somebody who was a baby boomer who was upset with a certain trend among younger people, and the reaction was, okay boomer, have a terrible day. So sometimes the contempt is mutual, but there's also a mitzvah b'nei seva takum. It's a foundation of society to respect people who are elderly, that we should see in people who are older than us. We should see wisdom and counsel and good ideas. Rabbi Sachs in the Dvar Torah, though, I'll quote a little bit later. So he talks about how many young businessmen have been saved from difficult situations because it consulted somebody with more experience. So it's upon the younger generation to learn from the wisdom of the older generation. And sometimes things have to be changed, but at the same time, there's a lot to learn from those who are more senior than us. In my generation doesn't always, and certainly those below, younger than me don't always appreciate that. Right, so Avram was concerned in the last Medrash that people wouldn't respect him if he looked young. Today it seems like almost the opposite. Avram would want to stay young so that people wouldn't treat him inappropriately. Okay, so let's go on to the next Medrash. Yosef Avraham v'Kachish. So this is the next chapter, beginning. So we were quoting Pesukim from the beginning of chapter 24. Now we're chapter 25. In between all of this, again, Avraham has gone to find a wife for Yitzchak. Medrash Tanhuma doesn't comment on this. Another question: Yilam Dinu Rabbeinu, Kama Tfilos Adam Ispalel Bayom? How many prayers does one say in one day? Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Amar Lufi Shehayom Ishtane Shalosh Pamim Bechol Yom. Lufiach Tzaricha Adam Ispalel Shalosh Pamim Bechol Yom. So since the day changes three times, the sun changes its position. Obviously, it's changing throughout the day, but there's three distinct moments where the sun has changed: sunrise, sunset, when it's at its height. So therefore, a person has to daven as three times a day. So this gives us a really interesting conception of time, because we were just talking about growing older and long-term change, but this talks about change that we go through every single day, which is not necessarily change that is so discernible or recognizable, but But Midrash is telling us, as just as the sun changes its position three times a day, so we also change throughout the day. We go through change every single day, all day long, and we shouldn't underestimate the value of any part of our day. Obviously, we don't necessarily experience it. It wouldn't be healthy if we change drastically, you know, morning, afternoon, and evening. But there's always something that we're experiencing that is affecting us in some way or another, and that should be a catalyst for tefillah and for seeking something new from Hashem, seeking something new in our relationship with Hashem. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar. So this is quoted in the Gemara in Brachos. It's a famous Gemara. So the Gemara quotes one opinion that the tefillos were enacted corresponding with the korbanot, with the sacrifices. Rabbi Shua ben Levi here says, Avraham tikkun tefillos haboker, Avraham enacted shachris, as it says, v'shkemu Avraham baboker, Avraham arose in the morning to daven. It doesn't actually give you the whole pasuk, but it says later in that pasuk, asher amad sham. Right? He davened where he was standing. Right? And standing, amida, means that he was davening. Yitzchak tikkun tefillos mincha, comes from this week's parasha, sh'nemar v'yitzeh Yitzchak osuach pasada ufnos arv. So Yitzchak was going to walk in the field. Asuach means can mean to sort of walk around the field, but asuach can also mean to have a conversation. So Yitzchak went out to have a conversation with Hashem in the late afternoon. And Yaakov tikkun tefillos ha'erev. Yaakov enacted ma'ariv based on the pasuk ve'gabe makom v'yalon sham. So Yaakov encountered Hashem. Makom can mean a place, but it also means Hashem. So Yaakov encountered Hashem at a time that he was a time that was obviously evening. And the Midrash goes on to say, Rabbi Akiva, Kshehayim Mispal Matzibur, Rabbi Akiva Davin with the community, Hayam Mispal Kedarko. He would daven normally, he didn't daven too long, wouldn't do anything crazy. Kshehayim Mispal Abena Levin Hansbo, when he daven by himself, so he was kept kneeling and prostrating himself, and he found himself at the other end of the room. His tefillah was extremely intense. But my role with and Charles tefillahs, why do we have three tefillahs? A person should be adding on to their tefillahs. That's not just true with davening. The person should add more Torah learning. Veloba Torah bilvad, not just with Torah learning, Ela afibana, in person should continue having children. Imnasa isha avamesa isa acheres v'yamim men abanim. If a person loses their wife, so she marry another and have more children. Teda lechash eri Avram shemesa ishto. Avram's wife had died. O yashav lo ela lakach isha. So Avram took another wife. Shenemar v'yosef Avram v'kach isha. Avram took another wife. Her name was Keturah. Whether that's Hagar, whether it's something else, is debated also in the Tanchuma. But that's what we have there. But the idea of having three tefillot is that we shouldn't just daven once, but we should daven multiple times. We shouldn't learn once, we should learn multiple times. So the message is that the things that we do in life that are positive, we shouldn't stop. Rabbi Sachs, that's all it has in Dvar Torah, called Growing Old and Staying Young. And discusses how some people have great success at a young age. Some people have many accomplishments at a young age, as teenagers, as young adults. But then he points out all the people who accomplished great things when they were older. Mozart and Beethoven wrote great music in their last years of life. Monet's best paintings were in his 90s. Benjamin Franklin invented bifocals at age 78. Frank Lloyd Wright completed the designs of the Guggenheim at age 92. One should never say that, you know, that's it, I'm done. But even if a person feels like that they've accomplished enough or they've done enough with their life, so one should always be seeking more opportunities to create more accomplishments. This is very true of Rabbi Sachs himself. Rabbi Sachs, he died fairly young, and it was relatively sudden. He got cancer pretty quickly and deteriorated quickly. But he had just come out with a new book in the last 2 months. Of his life. So we see Rabbi Sachs himself lived up to lived up to this ideal, and certainly he had plans to continue learning and writing and producing more. So he was not ready to slow down. And he learns this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Abraham, it's true of Abraham, but Moshe Rabbeinu also, instead of having, quote, senioritis, continued to give till his last day, right? He all of Sefer Dvarim is what he was in the last month of his life. By the time you get to Parshas Vayelech, he says, Ben Me'av Esrim Shana Hayom, I'm 120 years old this day. And as we see at the end of his Osa Bracha, he was not slowing down. He had not lost any of his vigor. So this Midrash is giving us a message that despite Abraham being at a relatively older age, he believed that we should always continue, we should add. Right? We should daven more, should add some learning, right? In a similar sense, the last Midrash will conclude with Siman Zayin, which by the way, Midrash Tanchuma for Chayesar itself is just very short. There's only 8 Simanim. By year, they're like 24. And Chayesar, it's pretty short. There's only 8. So we'll just conclude with this one. So the same pasuk for Yosef Avraham. Avraham took another wife. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you more and more. It also deals with the idea of adding more. So Amar Rabbi Yudan, says, Lo yarbe lo susim. So the Torah tells us that a king should not have too many horses. Shlomo kshemalach. Shlomo became king. Shlomo didn't have a single horse because David didn't have a horse. Right. So David only had a mule. I think he had a donkey, he had a mule. That was it. So that's all he wrote. And so when it says Vahosif Ode, so it couldn't mean that Shlomo added more horses, which does happen, but that wouldn't seem to be a positive thing. So it seems to be saying that David added on to the command, right? That the Torah says don't have too many horses. David says, I'm not going to even have one. Just to be careful. That one should have a bismillah on the day. Even a person who has to put himself to a little bit of debt should have a celebration that day. They should have a meal and should make it nice. I will praise you and more. So rabbis say that this pasuk of adding more and more is talking about Abraham, that even though he had Yitzchak, he accomplished what he needed, he was going to have, he was going to build his nation through Yitzchak and Yitzchak's descendants. I'm going to have even more children. Abraham took another wife. So the idea that we get from these last two midrashim is that that when there's an opportunity to do more mitzvot, to add to our mitzvot, to putting in more resources towards mitzvot, so that's something that we should embrace. And we should experience, especially when something adds simcha to a mitzvot, which is like what we see with the example of the bris milah, that one should be misameach also hayom, especially when doing more for a mitzvah can add to our joy in doing a mitzvah, so we should certainly do that. Mar says that our income is set from year to year, right? That so whatever income we get is what we were meant to get from Hashem, except what we spend on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Hashem perhaps adds more if we're going to spend it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Of course, we have to be careful. It's better for a person to have a meager Shabbos than to rely on others. But within our means, what we put in is what we get out of something, especially in terms of our happiness in serving Hashem. Our recent scholar in residence had told me that he doesn't take a lot of vacations with his family, but they put in a lot of money into Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right? That's this idea that I'm going to keep adding more and more. So that's the idea here, and that's not just true monetarily, but in terms of our time, our effort. Should look within our limits. I mean, obviously, we, at a certain point, we have limits. You can't make more than that. But we should look to increase. And there's a I don't remember who this was asked of, but somebody was once asked a question, what should I learn if I only have 10 minutes to learn? So the answer given was learn Musar, and then you'll see that you have more time. Sometimes we just have to kind of put in the effort, extend ourselves a little bit more. Of course, if we can't, you know, a certain point where we might be genuinely overextending ourselves, we have to be careful of that. But we can try to think about, I can learn more, how I can add to my Shabbos, I can spend more time on tefillah. So adding, putting in more resources to when we have the opportunity to do a mitzvah is something that we see, that we learn from Avraham Avinu. And also we should look for opportunities to see the added bracha every single day of our lives. That's something that Avraham was able to see, was that he never said, you know, that's it, I reached my peak and there's nothing more for me to gain from life. But Avraham was somebody who saw every day as a new opportunity. And we should see the opportunity, of course, to do more, but also to appreciate the brachos that we are receiving every single day of our lives. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.